Welcome to the Greatness Within Morning Motivation Podcast, presented by Red Pills Productions.
Hello, world best people. If you love our podcast, oh, our podcast help you? Please support our work and help us to give you more our work. Your little donation will help us to survive in tough time. Please, click link in description or about section to donate little as possible. Thank you.
I think the definition of greatness is to inspire the people next to you. I think that's what greatness is or should be. It's not something that lives and dies with one person. Mm. It's how can you inspire a person to then in turn inspire another person that then inspires another person. And that's how you create something that I think lasts forever. Yeah. And I think that's our challenge as people, is to figure out how our story can impact others and motivate them in a way to create their own greatness. There's a quote from one of my English teachers at Lord Marion named Mr. Fisk. He had a great quote that said, "Rest at the end, not in the middle." And that's something I always live by. You know, I'm not gonna rest, I'm gonna keep on pushing now. There are a lot of answers that I don't have, even questions that I don't have, but I'm just gonna keep going. I'm just gonna keep going, and I'll figure these things out as we go, right? And you just continue to build that way. So that, I try to live by that all the time.
And what brings you the most joy right now?
Being with my family.
Really?
That is, man, that is the most fun. It's just, hanging out with them all summer, being able to do things that I ordinarily couldn't do.
Yeah.
Because of training, because of season, and stuff like that. So being around them and watching Bianca grow up, because there are a lot of things that I miss with Natalia and Gianna because I was playing. So being there every day with them is so much fun, man. So it brings me the most joy. What does love feel like? Happiness is such a... I think I would describe love as happiness. I think I'd describe it as a beautiful journey. Mm. It has its ups and downs, right? Whether it's in marriage, or whether it's in the career, things are never perfect. Yeah. But through love, you continue to persevere and you move through them. You move through them. And then through that storm, beautiful sun emerges.
Yeah.
Right? And inevitably, another storm comes. And guess what? You ride that one out too.
Yeah.
So I think love is a certain determination and persistence to go through the good times and the bad times with the someone or something that you truly love. My parents were great. Growing up, they instilled in me the importance of imagination, of curiosity, and understanding that, okay, if you want to accomplish something, I'm not just going to sit here and say, yes, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can, but you have to also put in the work to get there, right? So they taught me that at a really early age, man. And when you grow up as a kid thinking that the world is your oyster, all things are possible if you put in the work to do it, you grow up having that fundamental belief. My mom was there on a daily basis. My father was really influential at a really critical time where I had a summer where I played basketball when I was like 10 or 11 years old in a very prominent summer league in Philadelphia called the Sunny Hill League, where my father played, my uncle played, and they were like all-time greats and
yeah.
Sort of stuff. And Wilt Chamberlain played in the league, Earl of Monroe played in the league. And here I come playing, and I don't score 1 point the entire summer.
Really?
Not one.
How old were you?
11, 10, 11.
And you're playing against other 10, 11-year-olds?
Uh-huh.
And you didn't score once?
Not one.
Were you in the game?
I was in the game.
How did you not score?
Because I was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
At 10, 11 years old, you were that terrible.
Awful. I mean, I had these big knee pads on because I was growing really fast. I had socks all the way up here, and I had like the high top
skinny,
fade,
yeah.
Like skinny as hell. And I scored not a free throw, nothing, not a lucky shot, not a breakaway layup, 0 points. And I remember crying about it and being upset about it. And my father just gave me a hug and said, "Listen, whether you score zero or score 60, I'm going to love you no matter what."
Wow.
Now that is the most important thing that you can say to a child. Because from there, I was like, okay, that gives me all the confidence in the world to fail. I have the security there. But to hell with that, I'm scoring 60. let's go.
Right, right.
Right, and from there, I just went to work. And I just I stayed with it, and I kept practicing, kept practicing, kept practicing. You know, when you're in this culture, in our society, you can do some phenomenal things individually, but they'll never reach their full potential unless you do them collectively. And you have to figure out how to do that. The challenge for me was always compassion and empathy. I think about 2009, things started changing for me. I started really making a conscious effort to better understand. And that doesn't mean, I mean, you have compassion and empathy, so you go softer on them. It's more like you put yourself to the side and you put yourself in their shoes and understand what they're feeling. And then you have to make certain decisions of, okay, what buttons do I need to push for this player to get them to the next level? So it's not sit around and all, it's all happy-go-lucky type of thing. Your leader, your job is to get the best out of them, even if they may not like it at that time. One of the things that I had to learn is how to get the best out of my teammates.
Yeah.
And most people think it's a simple thing, you know, pass them the ball. You know, but that's not how you make guys better. You have to really affect their behavior.
How do you do that?
So, I would tell guys, we got back-to-backs. I don't care if we're in Miami, I don't care if we're in a great city of Chicago, you can't go out, we gotta get rest.
Right? Back-to-back games.
Back-to-back games, right? Monday, Tuesday. You play Monday and you play again Tuesday. Guys aren't gonna listen, right?
Right.
So, a few times, say, all right, we'll all go out. Go out together.
Really?
I'll drink with you, right? But the next morning, I'm banging on your door at 5 a.m. Let's go.
They're not getting
Where are we going? I hung out with you, now you come hang out with me.
Wow.
This is what we do, all right? Let's go. And you're at the gym, we're working out, right? We hit the bus, we go to practice, we play that night.
And they're dead.
And they're dead. And they're like, lesson learned.
Really?
Lesson learned.
Take them out once.
Listen, if you're gonna do that, do that. But don't let that compromise what we're here to do.
Right.
This is why we're here. This is why you're here in the first place.
What does losing feel like to you?
It's exciting.
Why is it exciting?
Because it means you have different ways to get better. There are certain things that you can figure out that you can take advantage of, right? Certain weaknesses that were exposed that you need to shore up, right? So it was exciting. I mean, it sucks to lose.
Right.
But at the same time, there are answers there if you just look at them. I'll give you an example. So Katie Lou Samuelson is one of the best college basketball players in the country. She plays at UConn, she's gonna be a senior. And they just had a really tough season last year where they lost to Notre Dame in the final. And so I asked her, I said, have you watched the Notre Dame game? She was like, no. I said, well, why not? I said, I don't wanna watch that. I said, I know you don't, but you're gonna play Notre Dame this year, yeah? Yeah. What's the chances you see him again in the final? She goes, well, you'll probably see him again. I said, well, you can't show up and play them without knowing why you lost that one, right? So, the mistakes that you've made in that game, you have to do the hard stuff and watch that game and study that game to not make those mistakes over and over again just because you weren't brave enough to face it. So she came down to the office. I brought her down to the office and we sat down, we watched that game together.
Wow.
Right, and you gotta deal with
it. Face it.
Gotta deal with it. Face it, learn from it. When you play for 20 years, I played for 20 years, you reach a certain level, you're like, okay, wait a minute, I have to start again at the base of a mountain and try to climb the top of this mountain. First of all, what mountain am I climbing? I don't even know. Like, what the hell am I going to be doing? And it's very scary.
Mm.
It's very scary.
Even for you?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And the thing that helped me actually was hurting my Achilles, because that forced me to sit there and say, okay, the day could be today that your career is over. Now what do? You have these ideas about doing something with your life after basketball, but what if today is the day that you, that's it. Now what do? So I had all this time sitting there with my Achilles injury and contemplating and thinking, and I said, I better get to work.
Wow.
And that was that. The mentality book is really about process and craft. I've broken the book up into two sections. And process is really about the process of preparing, through injury, recovery, studying of the game. And then the craft is the actual performance and the tactics. And so a lot of things that I learned through the game were through photos. You can look at a photo and see like a player making a move, look at the angle of his feet, look how he's using his hands on defense, and I can really break down things to the smallest detail through that. And that's what you'll see in this book. I mean, it's really a basketball Bible. You'll see how I break things down, like how I'm looking at things to the smallest of detail.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to understand how to have that kind of mentality, is to ask questions, then find answers. And then that leads to more questions, and you find more answers. And that's what the book is. So how can we teach our children what it means to work hard? Well, you do it through training, right? So when I get up in the morning, my daughter goes with me.
4 a.m.?
4 a.m. My 15-year-old goes with me. She goes with me before school, and it becomes a daddy-daughter thing.
That's cool.
She just got her permit, right? So she drives in the morning. It becomes a cool thing, right? But through that process, she understands the value of hard work and things taking time. And the same thing with my 12-year-old, right? She practices every day, right? And so it's through those behaviors is where I find the motivation to do it.
Hello, world best people. If you love our podcast, OR Podcast help you? Please support our work and help us to give you more our work. Your little donation will help us to survive in tough time. Please, click link in description or about section to donate little as possible. Thank you.